Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
The PricewaterhouseCoopers Quality of Life Report 2011 revealed that people living with disabilities in this country have the poorest quality of life among people living with disabilities anywhere in the developed world. Australians with disabilities are also more than twice as likely as those without to be living near or below the poverty line. Stella Young is a comedian, disability advocate, and the editor of ABC's Ramp Up website, an online space for news, discussion, and opinion about disability in Australia. We kicked off our conversation with why Stella identifies with the word CRIP.
I take a very political approach to disability. And CRIP is a word that's been used by the disability community for a long time. People often say that it's something that I made up, which is really not the case. it's a word that is kind of, you know, it's obviously related to cripple, but it's not the same as cripple because it's a word that hasn't been used against us in a way.
Okay.
It's a word that sort of came from within the community. And I just like it because it sounds strong and sarcastic and a little bit biting. And I don't think we have enough irreverence around disability in Australia. So I'd really like to kind of change the way people think about it in that way. It's a word that I use with great pride.
Stella, I'm interested in the way your family worked. You say that your mum and dad never expected anything of you that they didn't expect of their own brothers and sisters, that you weren't remarkable just by virtue of a disability.
Absolutely. And I think that my parents kind of, fortified me in that way to make sure that I knew that I was just the same as everybody else. And that means having the same rights as everyone else, but it also means having the same responsibilities. So I wasn't allowed to get away with anything as a child that my sisters didn't get away with, which is, I think, a really important approach for me. And my parents taught me that I could have high expectations for myself and my own life just as much as anybody else could. They taught me that I was just like everybody else and I didn't need to swallow all of those condescending messages that the rest of the world was sending me, which I think has been a really, really positive thing for me.
Well, you do live with a disability. I'm interested in how you got started as an activist. Was it more about just fairness when at 14 you started to cruise the main street and stall, reminding shop owners they need to make access for people in wheelchairs?
I think I just became aware that there were places that I can't go because I use a wheelchair, and that really annoyed me. my parents also taught me that access was good for the rest of the community as well. I remember being about 8 years old and being a member of the Brownies troop install.
Yep.
And the Brownies was held in a hall that didn't have wheelchair access. So my parents would like bring along a ramp every day for me, every week for me to get into the hall. And then eventually the Lions Club just funded a ramp and they built one. And the leader of the Brownies wanted me to be in the paper as like a poster child for this charity thing. And my parents said, no way. That benefits the entire community. That's not about one individual person. That's about making a more accessible community for everyone, and you're not using our child as a charity poster child. So I think that, those kind of approaches really taught me that it's all of this access stuff. It's not just about me. It's about a whole range of people with access needs for different reasons.
What's the difference, Stella, in your experience between a poster child and somebody who has the capacity to speak in the public square and be heard on the part of other people, like yourself?
See, that's the thing. I don't think that I try not to, speak on behalf of others. Part of my message that I'm trying to get across is that disabled people are just as diverse as the rest of the community. Not everybody in the disability community agrees with me. Not everyone even agrees that there is a disability community. Like, disability is a really kind of complex thing. And I would hate to be kind of thought of as a spokesperson for people with disabilities in Australia because, I'm not everyone's cup of tea, as somebody reminded me on Facebook the other day. There's lots of different opinions about disability throughout Australia. And I would love to see more voices and dissenting voices. And, I love being told that I haven't thought of something in a certain way or you know, that I'm wrong about something or all of those things. I think we need as much debate and, you know, critical thought around disability as we've had around other minority groups. I think that we as a culture have tried to simplify disability, and we can't. It's not a simple thing. Can't be summed up in a cute little image, you know, with an inspirational quote. And, you know, it can't be summed up in one piece of writing or in a TED talk or in any of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's really complex.
Well, we're referencing TEDx and your chance to speak there in Sydney earlier this year. You threw up some pictures of people living with a disability and some pithy 6 or 8 word statements of inspiration around them. And your commentary to that was that we're looking at these as, at least I'm not that person, that I'm lucky in a way, and that kind of inspiration's wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, part of my point was that disability doesn't make you exceptional. We all learn how to use the bodies that we're born with, and, you know, we don't need to be objectified for the inspiration as other people. And the term that we use for that kind of in disability circles is inspiration porn. And the word porn is quite deliberate because we are objectifying disabled people for the benefit or the motivation or the inspiration of non-disabled people. So, it's been an interesting response to that TED Talk because a lot of people disagree with me and say, you know, what's wrong with being inspired? And you know, there's nothing wrong with being inspired, but think about why you're inspired. Are you being inspired because you think that you are luckier than that person with no legs? Because that's not a fair assumption to assume that a disabled person's life is worse than yours. Is also to assume that it's worth less than yours. And I don't think that's fair.
Stella, if we change tack for a moment, but still very much connected to this conversation, the National Disability Insurance Scheme, the NDIS, a brilliant idea long overdue. Are you comfortable with the fact that perhaps some of the public drive around this issue was generated by some of the very misconceptions we've been sharing here?
I actually disagree that the support for it has been garnered by those stories of triumph over adversity. I think that we have had to really lay our hearts and our lives on the line in a way that we don't feel comfortable with. I mean, people going along to these commission hearings and saying, I'm only allowed to have 2 showers a week because that's the only funding I can access. Those things are not fun to talk about. Those are the stories that we don't hear in the media. You know, we hear about the people who are doing well. We don't hear about the people who are not doing so well because they lack the support. So I think that those stories have horrified people. And I don't necessarily think that it's pity in the same way. I think it's genuine horror that there are people living in Australia, you know, sometimes in third world conditions because they don't have enough. You know, they're living far below the poverty line and they don't have enough general support to kind of get out of bed in the morning. And I think that because of all these stories of inspiration in the media, it's very hard to talk about it, to talk about the things around disability that are not all beer and Skittles. And there are, I think that the support for the NDIS has really been galvanised because we started to be honest about the really, really tough bits and not to kind of, you know, we kind of had to throw our dignity to the wind.
It was an embarrassing exchange for many who were part of that process.
Oh, of course, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's people think of disability and they think of, you know, Paralympic swimmers and, you know, blind guys climbing Mount Everest or whatever. Actually, there's people who could never do that stuff because they don't have the basic support that they need to make themselves meals every day or to have a shower every day or those kind of things. And I think it was really important that people be honest about that.
Where is the NDIS now, Stella? Help those of us who aren't still in this process get a clearer picture of what's going on with the promises that were made amidst all of the fanfare earlier on.
Well, it's being rolled out in a number of launch sites. So it's nearly a year since that happened in places like Geelong in Victoria. I think the Hunter region in New South Wales. So there's a number of kind of evaluations happening to look at the people who've been accessing those services and to see how well that's working and to either change things or keep things, or it's just a good chance to kind of evaluate it before it gets rolled out. But we expect it to be rolled out completely, I think, by 2019. It's on track. It's on track at the moment. And hopefully it really plays a part in changing the culture of disability in Australia.
Have there been any progressive updates fed back to the community that this is working and that the way that it's being rolled out is effective even at this early stage?
I mean, I think that there are mixed reviews. I mean, some people it's working for and some people it's not working for, and that's to be expected in a scheme that is new. But the ethos of the NDIS is really around individual support, so not this one-size-fits-all model. So I think, you know, it'll require some tweaking, and there'll be things happening in the next couple of years. There'll be some great lessons, and we can hopefully get it right.
Stella, as we wrap up this conversation about the remarkableness of humanity as opposed to merely the remarkableness of somebody living with a disability, what's your best advice to people who struggle to be comfortable in sharing an open dialogue with somebody living with a disability?
Well, I think you need to think of it in terms of how you would interact with anyone else. I mean, I always say that those guides for, you know, communicating with people with disabilities and not offending people, I think they do more harm than good, because teaching people that there are rules makes people nervous. Really, the rules are there are no rules. Just get on with it and, you know, try not to be an idiot as you would with anyone else. It's the same rules apply, really.
Yeah.
Treat people how you would like to be treated. Don't be condescending. Don't be an idiot, essentially.
Stella Young, it's been fabulous to catch up with you. Thanks so much for your insights.
Thanks so much for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.